Thank you for listening to the Sermon of the Week. Remember to visit our website at www.revivalministry.co.za, where you can sign up to receive more of these powerful messages.
I was saying, I wrote it in my notes, I really just ministered that, but this is the sermon, by the way, just in case you're wondering. God's given us a mandate to host His presence and to pursue revival. And I just wrote there, it's about going into the throne room. Just one of the words of the song this morning, your name is Jesus. And that name cannot be overcome. That name cannot be overcome. Other song, all I can say is holy, holy. All I can say, holy are you, God. Bernadine, thank you for just choosing this morning's songs and facilitating this moment. God's just, you know, He speaks in worship. He really, it's where the seeds are planted. That's where the seeds are planted, is in worship. So we're called to host God's presence. What does it mean to host God's presence? I realized I was reading Psalms 23. None of you know what that says, right? Starts off with the Lord is my shepherd. You've heard that one. But verse 6, this is God's presence. Surely only goodness, mercy and unfailing love will follow me all the days of my life. Through the length of my days, the house of the Lord and His presence shall be my dwelling place. So we can't host God's presence as much as what we dwell in His presence. If that makes sense. When we say we're hosting God's presence, what we're actually saying is we're inviting people to come and dwell with us. If I host someone for a braai, I host them, they come to my house and we have a braai together and we host them. But we're already dwelling in God's presence. We're already dwelling in His presence. So when we say we're hosting the presence of God, it's not like we are calling God and then His presence comes. No, we're living in His presence and we're inviting people to come and join us because we live in a place where only goodness, mercy, and unfailing love follows us. And we only experience that when we dwell. By the word dwell, it's like you just stay there. You go into God's presence, you find that place. You don't go on Property 24 and look at other places to dwell. You stay. You're like, this is my place. This is my home. This is where I'm going to stay because God's presence is here. And I felt God saying that along with the theme of Psalm 23, what He is doing is He's calling His sheep. He's calling His sheep. Just turn to the person next to you and say, I want to be a sheep. Why is it so important? John 10. What does John 10 say? Verse 26 to 28. You thought I was going to say 10:10. Yeah, he's talking to the Pharisees. He says, but you do not believe and trust and rely on me because you don't belong to my fold. You are no sheep of mine. The sheep that are my own hear and are listening to my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life. Listen, he gives eternal life. And they will never lose it or perish through the ages. When we dwell in God's presence, we hear his voice. We're part of his fold. If his presence is like a household, then we're part of that household. We're part of that fold. And we hear him with every step. One of the songs we did this morning said, if you walk in freedom, you walk in freedom if you bear his name. You walk in freedom if you bear his name. So that takes us back to Psalms 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not lack. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still and restful waters. How does he lead us? He can only lead us if we are sheep who live in his presence, who know his voice. If we're part of the fold, if we're constantly pressing into his presence, that's how he can lead us. That's how he can guide us. To do that, we have to become a sheep. Now, you said you want to be a sheep, right? Miller's just clarifying, a sheep of the Lord. No other sheep. I am asleep. No, I am a sheep. I'm not asleep. Okay. One of the things, if you want to be a sheep, if you want to be part of the fold, you've got to recognize that you're part of a flock. A sheep on his own, not going to make it. I googled, is a sheep a good pet? They're like, not on its own. It needs other sheep. It needs a herd. A flock. And that's part of being a sheep, is recognizing that it's no longer about myself. I mean, this is a message that's been preached so often. It's not about you. It really isn't about you. You see, our faith gets watered down when we make it about me. I might have faith for my life journey. Paul writes to Timothy, he goes even further. He says, unless you're part of the ministry, and unless you're actually leading others to righteousness, you never actually tap into the fullness of faith. There's a level of faith that you can't tap into. It's shut. It is not accessible. Until you become part of a flock, and until you start trusting God for other people's lives through your life. First Timothy 3, you can go read it. It's in there. You don't access the fullness of faith until you recognize that you're part of the flock and there's other people that depend on you. That part is sealed until you're part of the body. So you can never say, things like silly things like I am the church. Because you're not tapping into the fullness of faith. There's something about saying it's not about me. It is about the flock. It is about being here. The fact that I show up, worship, praise Him with all of my might encourages the person next to you. I mean, it's not lekker to worship when you have five chairs open next to you, right? There's people depending on us to show up and worship. There's people depending on us to show up and pray for them. People depending on us, I'm talking to every single person in this room, no person excluded. There's people depending on us to show up and be the body who say, it's not about me, it's about the glory of God manifest in the flock. And we hear Him together. Mark 8:34 it has never been a comfortable one for me because I don't want to carry a cross. Anyone in the room physically want to carry a cross? Huh? Justin says a small one on a gold chain. Mark 8:34 Jesus called the disciples and He said, if anyone intends to come after me, listen, if anyone, Psalm 23, He leads me beside still waters. Jesus says, if anyone intends coming after me, he needs to deny himself. Some people have read Psalms 23 just for themselves. Oh, He leads me. I see the waters, man. I see the green grass. I see the provision. And Jesus says, if you intend to follow me there, you first have to deny yourself. You first have to. Now, denying yourself is not scary. Denying yourself is not hard. Denying yourself is what God has called each one of us to do. I asked those who were here at our worship night on Wednesday night, I said, do you want to take up a cross or a sacrifice of praise? Do you want to take up a cross or a sacrifice of praise? In other words, the cross has become a sacrifice of praise. I just realized that. When Jesus had come and gone and had left the Holy Spirit and He had given it to the apostles, they would worship in praise and then be persecuted. Think about Stephen, who stood up and he said, I see the heavens opened up. And the picture I get when I read about Stephen is a face that is aglow, that is beaming with the presence of God. In that moment, he took up his cross, not by carrying something heavy to be crucified, but rather he stood up and praised. Our world is going to persecute us when we stand up and praise. But through the praise, there is freedom. Through the praise, there is glory. Through the praise, there is change. You quoted it. I think you quoted it. But as for me and my house, we will worship the Lord. I don't care what's going on. As for me and my house, we will worship the Lord. Peter, persecuted in prison, stands up to praise. Yanni comes to church. The band starts playing. Come on. I don't know any Yannis, I promise you. I specifically said Yanni because I can't think of one that I know. I don't get it. You come to church, it's a free place, there's even cappuccinos after the service, and you don't want to praise. And Peter in prison stands up to praise. Why? Because it wasn't about him. The reason he could follow Jesus out of prison into the streets is because he had denied himself. He said, God, this is for your glory. This is for your honor. This is for your praise. If I'm going to follow Jesus anywhere, it's always going to be about his glory. Exactly. Exactly. I must just. Whoever wants to save his life will lose it. Whoever gives up his life for my sake and the gospel's will save his life in the eternal kingdom of God. I just felt God saying, if there's any doubt in your heart, if there's any insecurity, if there's any fear about anything, if there's any anxiousness about anything, it's an immediate sign that you're trying to save your own life by yourself. It's an immediate sign that you're trying to save your life by your own means. And God says, hey, the earth is mine and the fullness thereof, i.e., you have nothing to worry about. But if you deny anxiousness, come on, let go of it. There's some people in the room, they're going, oh, I like my anxiousness. I like my doubts. I like my fear. Got a special cupboard for it. Doubt's great. I doubt every second day. Those are good things to deny. Those are good things to say, you know what? That was me in my own thinking. I'm going to deny those things. I'm not going to give them a place in my head. I'm not going to give them a place in my heart. I'm not going to give them a place in my thinking. Because there's a voice that's calling. And if I'm giving attention to those things, I'm not hearing the voice that is calling me. So the voice calls, Scarpy. And something in the cupboard goes, and you go, listen. Come on. Those are the things we deny. Those are the things we put away. We don't just put them away, we put them in a can and we incinerate them. Because there's a voice that's calling. And if we're listening to anxiousness, if we're listening to fear, if we're listening to doubt, we are choosing a voice above the shepherd. We're choosing someone else's voice. Because God says, the earth is mine and the fullness thereof. It's the enemy that comes to steal, kill, and destroy. There's your John 10 verse 10. It's the enemy that comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And he uses the voice of doubt, the voice of anxiousness, the voice of fear, the voice of insecurity. Those are the voices he uses. Jesus says, the shepherd doesn't come through the door. The thief doesn't come through the front door. He comes over the wall. When you least expect it, you're like, hey, what's that? So I'm not going to listen to you. I'm not going to listen to you. You know how often I'll be having a really good day and then a voice comes from the side? How I'll have a victorious day and just before dinner get a WhatsApp and there goes your brain. Or any form of information, any other voice that doesn't come from the shepherd. So often we'll be stepping into it. And really it's us that give it attention. We've got to say, no, I don't know you. Now Jesus describes how sheep operate. He says, the sheep hear my voice and they follow me. But they don't recognize the voice that comes over the wall. They run away, he says. Now, I don't know about you if you have any sheeping experience. Anyone in the room ever tried to get a flock of sheep into a pen? Has anyone? Okay, so I mean, what's that? 10% in the room that have actually tried to herd at least one sheep? So we go on holiday on a farm and there's sheep in a pen. They're doing their thing there. They're all happy. And one of my kids decided they weren't happy in that pen. Decided that it's too small for them. They need some freedom. So they opened the gate and obviously the sheep, yeah, they were like, be free. And they went, they were free. And I realize, firstly, my kid's in trouble, but I'm in trouble. I need to get these sheep back in there. Do you know how hard it is to get sheep back in there? I'm not a shepherd. I wasn't their shepherd. That's the truth. You see, there's a farm worker who goes every day to the same pen. He opens up the pen. They walk exactly down the road to the next gate. You know what they do at the next gate? They just stop in a group and they wait for him to come. He comes, he opens, because they know and they trust who he is. You sheep, you sheep. Yeah, I just see that just came out. You see, sheep have a natural flock tendency, which is a protective tendency, a herding tendency, which is if one runs, they all run. And that's how they stay out of danger together. It's like fish that school and birds that flock. You know, if there's 100, only one's going to die. And then it's a flock of 99. And that's how the 99 stay safe. So just run, you know. So when I pitch up to try and herd these sheep, they like danger. And they run. And that's what Jesus is telling the Pharisees. He's saying, hey, you can try and control this situation. You can try and say what you want. My sheep know my voice. And my sheep are going to follow me just because it's my voice. And those other voices, they're just going to be like, meh, and they're going to go. And that's what Jesus is saying to us. Just run. Together. I learned what it means to leave the 99 then and find the one. Because we managed to herd most of them in except one. Justin, you're planting things in my head. John 10:3, the watchman opens the door and the sheep listen to his voice and heed it. And he calls each sheep by name. Even though I walk through the valley, what am I listening to? The voice of the shepherd. That's what I'm listening to. Verse 3, Psalms 23, He refreshes and restores my life. He leads me in the paths of righteousness. And he has that theme again, for His name's sake. You see how Mark, where Jesus says, if you want to follow me, you have to deny me. Psalm 23, verse 3, He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. It's always for His name. It's always for His name. It's always for His glory. And so that's what it means to pursue revival, is we're pursuing God's righteousness for His name's sake. Come on, we're pursuing righteousness. We're not here to make each other feel good, to affirm whatever feelings you have, and affirm the place that you're in. No, we have to affirm one thing, and that's the righteousness of God. That's what we have to affirm. So if you walk in the door and you're not living in the righteousness of God, man, there's a calling saying, follow the voice of God and step into His righteousness. Not, oh, we'll love you where you are. Because where you are is going to kill you. Where you are is going to destroy you. Unless you walk in with the fullness of the presence of God. See, the church has to step up. It's got to say, God is leading us into His righteousness for His name's sake. And I choose to believe that I am being led into righteousness. I choose to believe that I am being led into an area that is going to manifest the glory of God for His sake. I do deny myself. I do walk in God's glory. It's not about me. It's about God. It's about His glory manifest. Come on, the earth is groaning and waiting for the sons of God to be made manifest. Unbelievers say, why does God allow all these bad things to happen? God says, my sons are not being manifest. They're listening to the voice that kills, steals, and destroys. That's why we see people being killed, stolen from, and destroyed. Because the sheep have listened to the wrong voice. Now Jesus is saying, come, listen to my voice. Church in general, church at large, listen to my voice. Be led into righteousness. Righteousness in our marriages. Righteousness as we parent our children. Righteousness in our schooling. Righteousness in our workplace. Righteousness in church. We're listening to His voice. To pursue revival is to allow God to lead us into His righteousness. So I want to just close off with Romans 5. No, Romans 4, sorry, my apologies. Romans 4. Verse 18. For Abraham, hope being gone, hoped in faith that he would become the father of many nations. The Amplified says, hope being gone. It says, human reason being gone. Hoped in faith that he should become the father of many nations, as he had been promised, so numberless shall your descendants be. He did not weaken in faith when he considered the impotence of his own body. How's that for? He denied himself. He did not look at himself in his current state, in his current abilities. He did not weaken in faith when he considered the impotence of his own body, I want to say today, just stop there. Anxiety, fear, doubt, insecurity is a form of impotence. Some people have aged way beyond what they should have aged. Spiritually and emotionally. They're tired and they're old and they feel heavy. And they haven't hit 40 yet. But they're weighed down by doubt and anxiousness, insecurities, fears. It'll cause you to age. Now, Abraham did not consider his own impotence. Which, when he looked at his own body, he was as good as dead, says the Bible. Because he was about 100 years old. Or when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's, in the Amplified, deadened womb. No unbelief or distrust made him waver concerning the promise of God. But he grew strong and was empowered by faith as he gave praise and glory to God. Come on, he grew strong as he gave praise and glory to God. 3 points there. He did not rest on his human reasoning. He did not hope in his ability to reason well. He did not weaken in his faith. He had no, zero, zip, zero, unbelief. Point three, he grew strong and empowered by praise. Romans 15, verse 6. That together with united hearts and one voice, praise and glorify the God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, wait, let me just say this again. That together you may unanimously, with united hearts and one voice, praise and glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Welcome and receive one another then, even as Christ has welcomed and received you. Again, for the glory of God. I just want to declare that as a prophetic declaration over this church. May our church, together with united hearts, one flock, praise and glorify God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. May we welcome and receive to our hearts one another, even as Christ has welcomed and received us for the glory of God. Amen. Amen. I want to encourage you to, I hope you've made notes this morning. I hope you've written down some things this morning. I want to encourage you to dwell on this word. If you need to listen to it again, go to YouTube, go to podcasts, search for Oasis Revival Ministry. We're there. You can find us. Subscribe. But let this wash over you until it becomes a reality. Don't come to church, listen to one thing, and then forget it and wait. This I felt, as I was preparing, is an important foundational word. It's a pillar word. It's a supernatural gateway word. It's like we have to step through this and believe this together and journey this together for us to see the glory of God manifest. I can stand up front. I can lead the horse to water. I can't make you drink. But I can say, if we don't go there together, we're not going to see the glory of God manifest as we hope. Because we are responsible to host the presence of God and invite others into it. We are responsible to carry that mandate. Not just us as leadership, not those that are on stage, every single person in this church. So I pray that you will hear the shepherd's voice and that you will listen only to his voice. And I pray that we will see the manifest fruit of that on your lives as you press into it, step into it, and honor God for his glory. Give him praise just because of who he is.
Thank you for listening to the Sermon of the Week. Remember to visit our website at www.revivalministry.co.za, where you can sign up to receive more of these powerful messages.